If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-Azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. We are going to talk about the family-related issues according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Jawid, our guest speaker. Sheikh Jawid, we are talking about family-related issues, according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas. And let me ask you this question at the beginning of this episode, and that is, you know, we all know that some shoes make some sounds in addition to leaving a trail or a trace, you know.
Yes.
Like a footprint. Well, but a kind of acoustic footprint, of course. You know, is it permissible for women actually to wear such shoes that make some tapping sounds?
Well, there is no harm in it in itself, provided that it does not draw the attention of other people and lead to vile consequences. Mm-hmm. So this is the yardstick, the main issue or point that must be taken into consideration. Women can wear any kind of shoes,
right,
provided that they do not draw attention, and the tapping sound does not attract attention. If it does not, there is no problem in wearing such shoes in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. I see. In wedding parties or the like, it is customary for some women, especially the bride,
yes,
to wear a special kind of clothes, like what we call a wedding gown or a wedding dress, you know, and that is transparent. These or such clothes are tight and transparent like a net.
Yeah.
Well, is it permissible for women to wear such clothes in such gatherings? I'm talking about the clothes that show the contours of the women's body, you know, or other types of dresses that show most parts of their body sometimes.
Well, it is, first of all, it's necessary to make sure if a woman wears such dresses that show the contours of the woman's body, or the dresses which are revealing or see-through,
mm-hmm,
that there shouldn't be any men outside the family members to see the woman, because it's haram to wear clothes like this,
yes,
in the presence of non-mahram men, and it's necessary for the woman to observe full hijab, covering her hair, neck, and also her body parts. And also, it's not permissible for a woman to wear tight and revealing clothes,
mm-hmm,
in the presence of non-mahram men. But of course, if one is rest assured, if one is confident that there's no non-mahram men to see her,
mm-hmm,
there's no problem in wearing such a dress, provided that again, it should not lead to any vile consequences, and she, of course, should be immune from falling victim to any vile consequences or vile deeds, you know. That's very important, because wearing a dress is permissible per se,
mm-hmm,
but the consequences are very more important. They have to be taken into consideration, of course.
Well, okay.
So of course, if a woman is insulated, or let's say immune from the gaze of men, to be brief, of course, there's no problem in wearing such dresses. And of course, it's necessary to make sure that wearing such a dress will not lead to any vile consequences.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio. Don't go away.
لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Chobit, our guest speaker. We are talking about family-related issues according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas. Sheikh Chobit, is it permissible for a devout Muslim woman to wear glittering black shoes?
Well, there is no harm and there is no objection to a woman wearing any type or any color of shoes unless the color or the design attracts the attention of non-mahram or makes her conspicuous in the eyes of the people around her.
Right.
Because it's very much, it's not permissible to wear a dress or to present oneself in a public place in such a manner that keeps her outstanding or conspicuous. So it's not permissible in that case. Otherwise, generally speaking, it's permissible for a woman to wear any kind of shoes with any color or colors or any design.
Mm-hmm, I see. Okay, Sheikh Chobit, is it incumbent on Muslim women to choose black colors for their clothes or clothing? For example, her scarves, trousers, pants, dress, and the like?
Well, Islam does not recommend black color, mm-hmm. No. According to Islamic Sharia, if a woman or a man, performs prayer,
right.
It is discouraged, it is makruh, or abominable to wear clothes with black color. And of course, the black color is not recommended, especially when performing prayers. But generally speaking, of course, there's no objection to a woman wearing black, okay? Black shoes, black clothes, black garments, and gowns. And, of course, Islam is not opposed to any color. Of course, especially if you wear white, it's more, psychologically, it could be more positive, it could have a better effect on you. But generally speaking, there is no problem in wearing clothes of any color.
Mm-hmm, I see. As you rightly mentioned in one of the earlier parts of the program, that Islam is not against any specific color.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Another question would be that is it permissible for a woman to wear a sort of hijab, a kind of hijab or dress that trigger the attention of other people or would be somehow considered provocative, let's say. For example, to wear a chador or a veil in an unconventional way or choose some socks with a special color or material, again, which is provoking.
Well, just as we said in my answer to the previous question, if a woman's dress, be it a kind of hijab actually, because maybe a woman is wearing a kind of veil covering her body,
right,
her hair and neck, but it keeps her, it makes her conspicuous, it attracts the attention.
Right.
So it is not permissible for a woman to wear anything whose color, design, or manner of wearing may be attractive to non-mahram people or people who are out of the family. And also it's not permissible to wear such clothes or dresses that lead the individual to some sins or bad effects or, let's say, to committing any haram action. So one has to look at whether wearing such clothes will have wild consequences or not.
Mm-hmm, I see. So they always have to be aware of their consequences.
Consequences, yes.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Tawfiq, for your nice answers to the questions related to family issues according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas. Thank you, my dear audience, for listening to this program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salamun Aleemun Malja ilaha illahum Ghaffarun Jameelun Wahhabun Latifun Tawwabun Samiun Basir La ilaha illahum وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو